Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live. Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and David Jones.
Hey, everyone. Time for the second episode of the Blue White Breakdown podcast for Indiana Week. I'm Bob Flounders, joined by David Jones. Dave, Penn State, Indiana, 7:30 Saturday night, 2-2 Hoosiers, 4-0 Nittany Lions. Hope you're having a good day. What's on your mind?
I'm having a lousy day, Bob. Got internet problems.
Is it that dial-up you're using? Is it those two muffler cones you have to put the phone in? Is that the problem?
Welcome. You got mail. No. I've got a microphone that works so that you can hear me, but if I plug it in, that doesn't work. So maybe I should read the directions. And our Verizon internet connection, we had the Verizon guy out about a month ago, and ever since, where our gee whiz new modem right in the kitchen apparently does not work very well. So I'm now hooked up to the one in the master bedroom, and hopefully this works and we don't have any skizzing out. Like, I'm skizzing out.
You sound
I'm ready
sad.
To blow. I'm ready to blow.
I know you are. I'm trying to keep you at like DEFCON 2.
Don't cross me.
I will not cross you. Dave, Penn State, Indiana. I doubt Saturday night's going to top last year's finish, but I just wanted to – let's just kick it off. I wanted to ask you about Michael Penix. Three big injuries in his collegiate career. I mean, two ACLs and I think a shoulder issue that cost him to miss half a year as well. He's run hot and cold this year, Dave. Not very good in the opening game against Iowa. Probably played better than the final score indicates in the Cincinnati loss. Looked good last week against Western Kentucky. But do you think he's the same guy?
Yeah, I think he's the guy he always was. He's a talented guy with a big arm. And when he's allowed to play his game unfettered, would we say, he's a very good quarterback. He's the question is, how much different is this defense, this Penn State defense, yeah, from last year's defense when he rang up 36 points, but not a lot of them until the fourth quarter. He didn't really get it going until the middle of the third quarter. And I think this is a little better Penn State defense. Also, he looked pretty damn good at Western Kentucky. Yes, they played at Western Kentucky. And they won a brawl down there in Bowling Green, Kentucky, 33-31, which was in doubt to the very end. I said a couple days ago that it reminded me of like Williams Grove Speedway, this field they were at down there, 22,000 fans. It was like Perry County or something. Yeah. People like leaning over the railing and screaming crap.
Dave, I think he just got all the Penn State, Mid-State football fans really excited with that. Like, really excited.
It was a scene, and God knows why Fred Glass signed up that game. But he did. And, you know, it probably can help them a little bit because they won a game on the road with a really nasty crowd. I mean, this 22,000 might be as nasty as the 102,000 or whatever it amounts to on Saturday night. I think this is going to be a Donnybrook. I usually pick the under on Big Ten games lately with Penn State. Not this time, man. I don't even know what the number is. What is it, 58?
I looked on it this morning. The line has moved up to 12.5 Penn State. And I believe the total is either 53 or 54.
Oh, my God. That's got to be over.
Let's tease it a little, Dave. Let's tease it a little.
Well, okay.
No big reveals now, man.
This is this. This ain't something else. This is this. Who is that? De Niro, right? So he's got guys to throw to. Yep. Peyton Hendershot, their tight end. Hendershot might be the best tight end in the whole damn league, and that's saying a lot.
Solid player. Big guy.
Really, really good. Can stretch for balls. Heck of a pair of hands. And Freifogel was only the wide receiver of the year last year in the Big Ten. The problem with Penix is if you get in his face, he gets bothered and he's prone to mistakes. He's already thrown six picks this year. That's a problem. Threw two against Cincinnati and a big one when they really were on the verge of making that. It was a game the entire game.
Yeah, I know.
Cincinnati won 38-24, but that's not an indicator of what a good game it was. Plus, Indiana is not a tremendously gifted defense, but man, they fight you. They might not be any more gifted than, say, Minnesota, but they've got guys who will hang in there and hang in there. Micah McFadden in the middle is terrific, and they are not going to back down. So I think this is going to be a very interesting game. I will certainly pick the over, and we won't ruin it from now, but what do you think of Penix? You're not as optimistic about him.
Well, you know, this week it had been a while since I actually poured over and looked at some of last year's game. And I know every year is different, but we've talked at length, probably ad nauseum for the Penn State fans, about overtime and the 28-20 lead and the guy not getting down. But the thing that struck me the most about that game, and I kind of, once I looked at the numbers, it's just how thoroughly Penn State kind of controlled that game. You know, they had almost 500 yards of offense. Indiana had a little over 200. Penix threw for less than 200 yards. And that was with what he got going late in the game. Stevie Scott didn't really hurt them that much. I know he had a touchdown run, but Penn State did an awful lot right in that game, but they just didn't execute at the end. And I'm just wondering if you know, if the yardage totals are similar again on Saturday night, how different this game could really look. And I do agree with you, Dave. I think, especially in the secondary and at linebacker, I think that Penn State is a little bit better equipped maybe to kind of handle the Indiana offense. It won't be easy against those skill players, but I think Michael Penix is really, I think Penn State is prepared to make life very tough for Michael Penix.
You know, I was saying Tuesday that maybe you sit back and make him make mistakes first. But the more I looked at tape this week, especially Cincinnati and Western Kentucky, I say throw everything at him and see what happens.
Oh, yeah. I know that they're going to try and heat him up. 4- and 5-man pressures. We both know Brent Pry likes to come with those exotic blitzes, man. So I think that, you know, almost at every level of defense and offense, both teams have some players that can hurt you. Even Indiana's defense, that Ole Miss transfer, Ryder Anderson, is a good player at defensive end. And they have a really good corner. The Mullen kid's a good corner. But the problem now, if you're going to try and defend Penn State's pass offense, is if you put Mullen on Dotson, there's no guarantee he's going to hold up for 4 quarters. And then Yurcich is going to try and kill you with the other guys, including the tight end. So I just don't know, if I have the Mullen kid and I'm Tom Allen, what I'm going to do with him. Do I just play him? Do I play him to one side? Do I shadow Jahan Dotson? What do you do?
Well, you got Jalen Williams on the other side and he's going to get picked on. The advantage is that they've got a couple of good linebackers who've been around in Ball and McFadden. And if you run the crossing stuff over the middle, which I don't think they're going to do as much. I think they're really going to go after. I don't think Indiana can get home like Auburn was early, for instance, like Wisconsin was early. I might be wrong there, but I don't think Tom Allen is that kind of core. He is essentially the coordinator. He's the defensive mind of this team. I don't think he's going to go after Clifford with exotic blitzes or anything. I think he's going to play straight up. That's the kind of guy he is. Maybe I'm wrong, but if that's the defensive strategy, then I say Yurcich is going to go deep and go often and see what happens, because he's got the equipment to do it. He's got the weaponry.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about is James Franklin will deny it if we asked him, but they look so diverse, Dave, in the Auburn game, the 28-20 game. They could have had some more points. A lot of different formations, 3 tight end sets. You know, really mixing it up. I think there's probably a good chance that good old Mike Yurcich didn't show at all against Villanova. And I think you're going to see a little, some even some more new wrinkles for this game. I'm not sure what they are, but I have a funny feeling that Penn State will be doing some new stuff at various stages of this game on offense.
Yeah, and I think Brent Pry will too. This is a game that I think is there for the defense, the Penn State defense, to win, because Penix has had some if you saw the Iowa game especially, you saw a guy who was regressing back to his old bad habits. And it's not like he hasn't had success. He has. I think he's 14-3 as a starter. That ain't bad.
Yeah.
But he's 14-4. But he's lost to the two good teams they've played this year rather conclusively. And when people put pressure on him, he's prone to throw picks. If he throws any picks in this game, especially more than one, that could be the dividing line. Because I don't think Sean Clifford's going to have as much pressure on him. And I think it's been shown that if you get up in Michael Penix's face, he's going to do rash and rush things. And that with that big arm, it's not like he is a finesse quarterback. Part of his problem is he doesn't sense pressure quite as well as a lot of quarterbacks with lesser they had Peyton Ramsey for a while there when Penix got hurt. You know, mm-hmm. What Peyton Ramsey did well was he finessed games. He managed games, and Penix has not been good at that. So they're going to test whether his management skills are sufficient, and we'll see.
Dave, it sounds a little bit trivial for me to say this, but I think that these two teams feature two of the best kickers in the Big Ten. Jordan Stout impacts the game in a couple different ways, but the Indiana place kicker is lethal. If you give him a chance, I wrote it a couple stories. You don't want the game to be on the line and him lining up for a 45-yard field goal with a minute to go because the guy is good.
Yeah, he doesn't care, does he? Yeah, I was watching that.
19-20 in his career.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's real good.
This is the Blue-White Breakdown.
Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Visit us at curaleaf.com or stop in to see us at any of our 12 locations. Let's talk medical marijuana and let our confidence become yours.
What I did want to say is for the last few minutes of our segment, what I wanted to do with you towards the end is rather than go through all of the Big Ten, I wanted to talk specifically with you about the Iowa-Maryland game Friday night. Because that's a game that the Penn State fans are going to want to watch. That's a game that's going to shape a lot of the Big Ten season. And Penn State's going to play both these teams, you know, fairly soon. And I think it's a pretty fascinating game.
It's a fascinating game. And in the way that boxing guys always say that styles make fights, and what they really mean is contrasting styles make great fights. And this is that, if I've ever seen it in my life. You have two very, very different teams in the close to the vest, play in a phone booth, Iowa Hawkeyes, who are even probably less dynamic than normal. Tyler Goodson not really getting the ball in space, and there's no Marcette or a guy like that on that Iowa team. They want to play you. They want to shorten the game, play you in the trenches, and beat you up. Their defense is really good. Would you say their defense is the best in the Big Ten or what?
It's a little early to say that. It's definitely in the running, but let's get to that a little bit later. Let's finish up with Penn State, Indiana, because I definitely want to talk to you a little bit at length, because I just think this game is really going to impact – these two teams are going to impact Penn State's season significantly. So let's just – we'll just cordon off about 3 or 4 minutes to talk about this game. That's a Friday night game, Penn State fans. So you want to – if you have the time, you're going to want to watch this game. But, yeah, Dave, Penn State, Indiana, are there any matchups – that we could talk about that really interests you? You talked about the defense versus Penix. I really think Penn State secondary is going to go a long way towards deciding this game. I believe they can make some plays, but what matchup do you think jumps out? And is there a decided advantage for either side, maybe in one particular matchup?
So the question is what they do with Fry Frogel. I suppose that's Joey Porter on that side.
Well, I don't know if Penn State's going to flip their corners. If they move him around, I think that one of those guys will probably be responsible. But I don't think they've actually had a shadow corner. I could be wrong, but I think they feel so good about both those players that a lot of times they just play sides.
Okay. So sometimes we're going to have Castro Fields on him. Sometimes we're going to have Porter on him. Yeah. He's more of a possession underneath receiver who catches everything. Although he dropped three balls against Cincinnati, I believe it was, that were very, very unlike him. He did not do that against Western Kentucky. He had another big game. He was the receiver of the year last year in the Big Ten.
You know, I know that it seems like Indiana has tried to, you know, Penn State likes to use multiple backs. They're just using that USC transfer. But in every game, he's gotten like 20 carries, even when they've been behind. And I don't know if he really is that big of a threat. I could be wrong. Maybe he's getting better. He had 200-yard games, but he didn't do much against Cincinnati or Iowa. But I think that they like to try and stay balanced. Michael Penix really, would you say, is really, now that he's had the knee injuries, he's pretty much a stationary guy. Penn State's going to know. He moves around in the pocket, but I don't know how much he's going to run. Would you agree with that?
No, he's not considered a mobile quarterback. He's not a running quarterback. He's more like Dwayne Haskins was.
Yeah.
He's a pocket quarterback who likes to stay back there. They don't want him to run because he gets hurt so often. And he's kind of spindly. He has a Dwayne Haskins type of body. So you're talking about Stephen Carr, the kid from USC.
Yeah.
And before you were talking about Stevie Scott last year.
Yeah.
This guy is not that. He is Stevie Scott was a big, strong,
bigger guy, like 240.
You could run between the tackles. Carr is not quite. He's capable. What is it? Horvath used to say he was. What did he say?
That's going to come to me.
What did he say about Larry Johnson?
I know. What did he say? Serviceable. Huh? Serviceable.
Serviceable. That's it.
Guy ran for 2,000 yards in Nick's career.
Could never admit he was wrong, that guy, man.
Correct.
Yeah, all I could think of was workmanlike, but that's serviceable. Yeah. Yeah, Carr is a good, decent back, but he's not going to be explosive. Stevie Scott, man, would go through you sometimes and then take off. Is he in the NFL? Where is he?
I don't know. I don't believe he got drafted, and I don't know if he's on a practice squad. You know, with the thing with those guys, those running backs in the NFL, if they're not, you know, top three round guys, they have to be able to play special teams. And I'm not talking about as returners to make the team. They pretty much. And I don't know if Stevie Scott at 240 pounds.
Yeah, Stevie Scott was kind of not explosive. He reminded me of that Kentucky back that Penn State played in the
Benny Snell.
Is that guy is in the NFL, right?
Yeah, he's like third team with the Steelers, I think.
Yeah. So anyway, Carr is not that guy. Smaller, not as powerful. And I think this is going to be on Michael Penix, Matthews, Freifogel, Hendershot to win this game for them. And I think they're capable, but they're going to have to go. I suspect that Penn State's secondary is going to be aggressive. They're going to pressure. And if they give up a long one to Matthews, so be it. But they want to get in Penix's face. And I think that's the game.
Yeah. And the two TDs that Villanova scored were in garbage time. So, I mean, Penn State's secondary. Now they have not played great quarterbacks. We've talked about that, but
that was the other thing.
They've played very well this year. I don't think a lot of big plays. They've been great in the red zone. So Dave, for me, I do think the transfer for Ole Miss, Ryder Anderson.
Yeah, the D end.
I think he's the guy. If I'm Penn State and I'm that offensive line, I just don't want him getting any free shots at Sean Clifford because, A, he's big enough to hurt Sean, and he could also cause some turnovers. He's a really disruptive player. He played pretty well in the Iowa and the Cincinnati games, and he's the guy. I think out of all the guys on the Penn State team, he might be the guy. If I'm Penn State, I might be worried most about him because I think he's the kind of guy that can make a play, can really turn the game around.
Yeah, and very frankly, I think it would behoove Penn State if they get a little bit of a running game going, maybe run at him. He's the kind of guy you could run at, right?
Yeah, he's a little lanky. He's built more like a tight end almost.
Yeah, run at him. They line him up on the left side as the offense looks at the defense. Is that right?
I don't know if they flip-flop him, but I think that he is usually, I think he probably is always, yes, trying to be the blindside guy. I think they probably move him around, but that was, it's interesting. He transferred from Ole Miss, and that I think that was the team that beat Indiana in the bowl game, and I'm just wondering how all that came about.
Maybe they flip-flop him and go after Caden Wallace no matter where.
Yeah. Of the two tackles, I think he's the one you're probably gonna line up against right now.
So I guess he'll come from the other side.
You want to pick a score now, and then we'll talk. We can get into the Iowa-Maryland game.
This is going to be a Donnybrook. I'm going to pick the same score that Indiana's game was last week, 33-31, just for the hell of it, but Penn State winning.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to say 37-27, and I think the line's 12, and it could actually be a little bit closer. I'm with you. I think Indiana, they probably deserve a little bit of a better fate in that Cincinnati game. I think Micah McFadden missed a half because of targeting, and I also think they gave up a kick return for a touchdown that really took the wind out of their sails, and I just think that was a very, very tight game, and they were actually leading, I think, in the fourth quarter and got outscored 15-0. So I could see them absolutely. They do play Penn State tough. They did it in 2019. Penn State couldn't really shake them, and obviously last year. So I think it'll be definitely in the fourth quarter. I think I could see Penn State having a score maybe to put it away.
What'd you think of that targeting? I thought that was pretty lame on McFadden.
I didn't get to see it, but I just remember I read one of the stories when Tom Allen just said, you know what? We kind of felt like we had him with Mike in the game. He had done some the first half, and they just said when he went, once he went out of the game, they were in
trouble. It completely changed the game. I mean, Indiana was dominating the game. I know that's hard to believe, but Cincinnati looked in trouble. I think it was in the middle of the second quarter, and everything changed.
Wow.
Cincinnati was looking like it was in big trouble. It was almost like the Michigan State Nebraska game, where Nebraska seemed like they had the game in hand. I didn't want to bring that up. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Lapsed into it.
It's okay. I mean, if they're dumb enough to mess the game up on special teams, then that's on them.
So now we can get into some other stuff.
Iowa, Maryland. Let's do it.
My goodness. See, the part I love is that it's at Maryland, that Iowa will kind of be outside their comfort zone. If you had to name one team in the Big Ten that's much better at home than on the road, wouldn't they be the one?
They would be the one.
Yeah.
By far. The funny thing is Penn State always beats them out there. But, yes, it is the venue that they really thrive in. And they don't need a lot of points to win games. But, Dave, I'm going to tell you right now, I think they have a huge edge at quarterback, Maryland does. And I think they're going to beat Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Spencer Petras.
Yes, got a good look at him last year.
Just a game manager, you know, in the Wisconsin mold, and really hasn't even been allowed to do much. I've seen some nice things out of him, but it's not like they put him out there and Kirk Ferentz's son is the offensive coordinator, and they've made a decision to. They lost the first two games last year and then ran the table. And the two games they lost, Petras made a lot of mistakes.
Northwestern got him, and so did Purdue.
Yeah, I think they made a decision that wasn't going to happen again. And so they're just – it's less than game management. They are putting him in a box and saying, you do this and nothing but this.
Yeah.
On the other hand
– Dave, that's another reason why I'm rooting for Maryland, because they're fun.
Yeah, they're fun, but we haven't seen what will happen when somebody punches them in the mouth. West Virginia is not the team to do that. Otherwise, they really have played nobody, and this is the kind of Maryland team where it reminds me of the team they had 3 years ago with the – who was the coordinator who's now in the NFL who took them over? He basically had the team, and they beat Texas. They almost beat Ohio State.
McFarland.
I mean, it was a crazy team, but you couldn't get any kind of
Penn State beat them 66-3.
Read on them ever? Yeah. I mean, what kind of mistake? What kind of sense does that make? I mean, that They lose 52-51 to Ohio State and then get beat 38-3 at Penn State. You know, that was one of the.
I thought it was the 66-3 game.
It's easy to get them all mixed up, all those Penn State rounds.
Dave, I just think that the quarterback is what sold me on Maryland.
To his little brother, he's looked very good.
Yeah, they can move the ball. They have the receivers to make plays, and I know the Iowa defense is definitely going to try and get after Tua's little brother Talia, I think is his name.
Yeah, they call him Leah for Talia.
I think that the stars are aligned, and it's just painful for me to watch Iowa football, and I think. I guess I'm being a little bit too subjective and not objective, but I think that if Iowa gets behind in this game, I know they were able to beat Colorado State. I don't know that they're going to come back against Maryland.
Yeah. Well, we kind of saw a team like Maryland play them, and what happened? It was Indiana. Indiana has all this weaponry and the snazzy quarterback. They punched him in the mouth, and Indiana backed up and kept backing up. That's we're going to know a lot in the first quarter. If they spring Teyon Fleet Davis out of the backfield is a real weapon, something they haven't really had before. He can catch circle routes for TDs, and that really augments all the other guys they have. They have probably, I'll put this wide receiver group up against Ohio State's. I will. And that sounds crazy, but man, Dante Demas is about 6'8 and 185. I don't know. What is he really? 6'3.
I just remember Jared just torched Penn State last year.
Yeah, well, look out for Dante Demas. He's been there. My nephew used to love throwing to him because he would go up and get it. He's actually 6'3, 217. He is an NFL receiver, and so is Rakim Jarrett, who you're talking about, mm-hmm. who is – shiftier and faster, fast as hell. He's the guy who hit two touchdown passes last year in the 35-19 game. He just ran away from Penn State's secondary. Right. They've got guys beyond that. Jayshon Jones, they've got a lot of really good pass catchers. And man, if you don't get to Leah Tungavaloa, look out, because your secondary, I wonder if Iowa's secondary can keep up with these guys. I mean, if they get them the ball, it is over. I think Iowa has to come up the middle on them, come hard, bring five or six guys, and just start hitting Leah Tungavaloa and hope that works the way that Penn State will probably come after Penix. I think that's the game. And if they move to Leah Tungavaloa, move him out of the pocket, and just get their wideouts the ball, man, Iowa does not want to see that. They got weaponry all over the field, and it's going to be really, really interesting. I think if Maryland hangs in there and plays with nerve and some toughness, which we've never seen out of Maryland, really, even when they played well against Penn State, they've crumbled later in the season. And it was Penn State teams that weren't terrifically tough on defense. If they can take a punch, then yep. It's Maryland's game. That's back to the boxing analogy, but I think that's really what it's about. They've got to prove they can take a punch, hang in there, and then keep firing the weapons. Keep firing the weapons, because if they get the ball to those wideouts against Iowa, it is bad news for the Hawkeyes.
Dave, Maryland by double digits. You heard it here first. By double digits.
I don't know what to make of that game. I hear you. Now, have you looked at the line?
Yeah, it's 3.5 Iowa.
So you're picking an outright. You're going to bet the money line on this, aren't
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Yeah. I just think Iowa is really good at a couple of things, right? But the game has to go exactly their way. And if you make them come from behind in on the road, I just think they can't do it with that quarterback. I'm only worried about that running back. And I'm worried about a couple of defensive players in their front seven. But, man, like, everything you said is right. The thing about Talia is, against Penn State, he's an athlete playing quarterback with a really quick release. He's not necessarily a guy that might kill you on design runs, but he moves very well in the pocket. He could escape trouble, extend plays. He did it against Penn State. They have the receivers. If he extends a couple of plays, it's going to be 6 points. I think they're going to win by double digits.
Yeah, I see the difference between Indiana and Maryland is Penix doesn't really sense pressure nearly as well as Talia Tungavaloa. He senses pressure. He moves back in there. And man, if he can extend plays, very, very bad news. The other thing I thought was interesting about the Vegas line is the total. Did you see the total? I just don't understand that at all. They say that it's that they're saying that it, the bettors are saying that it's Iowa's game to win or lose. And I don't see that at all. It opened at 46. That's crazy. And it's 47.5 now.
Well, I think what the odds makers are saying is if we believe that the betting public and the line should be an Iowa favorite, the only way they're going to win the game is if they win a game where they control the tempo.
Yeah, so they believe in Iowa. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, if you're going to make them favored, I think, yeah, it's kind of probably, yeah. It's now up to 48, Dave.
So they think this is Marvin Hagler against Thomas Hearns, and they think Iowa is Hagler. Am I right?
Yeah, you could. I would go Hearns Leonard, but we could say Hagler.
No, this is Hagler Hearns, and they think Iowa is Hagler, and it's going to be three rounds of thunder, and it's going to be over quick. That's what they're saying. They're saying Iowa's going to get the lead early, and then they're gonna gum the game to death. And
I can't believe you're not going to pick a score. I can't believe it. What's the point?
What is the point? I'll pick it. Okay, I'll pick it. I said what I said. I'll pick it. I'm going to go with Maryland 23. No, I gotta give them more points. They gotta have more points than that. Maryland 29, Iowa 24. Okay.
All right.
I do believe this is a Maryland team that is ready to win this game. And if we're right, think of the ramifications in the league. I mean, my God, it means that the East is a total Donnybrook because these guys are going to have confidence. If they can beat Iowa, anything's possible in the East. If they can beat Iowa, they can beat Ohio State. I mean, that's really what they're saying.
Love it. I love it.
They're going to go into Columbus next. So that will be an even crazier game next week because that who knows which way that's going to be. That's going to be bombs exploding all over the place.
I love it. I love the analogies. I love the gutsy pick. I had a gutsier pick, but we'll just see when Iowa tramples them 27-7, we'll eat some crow next week. But that's what this Blue White Breakdown podcast is all about. We could take a shot on the chin and bounce back next week when we're horribly wrong. And I think we're about out of time, Dave. So any final thoughts here on the Blue White Breakdown podcast as we approach the 35-point mark?
I want to reiterate that I think Nebraska is ready to make a run.
Oh,
yes. And that's crazy because nobody's saying it, but they've got Northwestern at home this week and they have a gentle ramp up with Michigan at home next week, which I think is ready made for a pretty nasty, almost black shirt like Nebraska defense. Mm-hmm. Adrian Martinez playing pretty well. They've gotten some bad breaks. This is a team that just needs one break and they could take off. That's what I think. Even with the banjo boy from Deliverance coaching them, I think they have the ability to make a real run here because I think they have a pretty good defensive coordinator, pretty good defense. So
Dave, my parting shot is that I believe that Brett Bielema and the Illini are not ready to go on a run.
That's right. It's true. They had to win those two games and they had them both.
Hey, you took your shot. You took your shot. Both. No one else did. I didn't see anyone else doing it, my man.
I don't see you in there.
All right, we got to run, guys. We will see you next week, hopefully talking about a very interesting Iowa-Penn State game. But Maryland might ruin the party a little bit for the Hawkeyes. We'll see.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.